Isn't he sweet?
He's just a sweetheart, isn't he? And all those nice things he said, and I tried to figure out what that even meant, to be balanced between spirituality and leadership. But Mike, thank God for the leadership we have in this church. This church is very special to me. When I was 19 years old and I came to Central Bible College, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this church. It was like two buildings back, but it was still this church under the pastoral leadership of Pastor Emil Barrier. And he prayed with me one Sunday night and said, look, if Johnny asked me for a truck, I'd give him a truck. I wouldn't give him something else. And if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give it to you. And God filled me with the Spirit October the 3rd, 1949, in this church. And I have been in this church more than I've been in any other church in my whole life, because my parents, I went to seven schools in 12 years, so we were moving pretty often, and that many schools, that many churches. So, well, no, most of the time it wasn't church, but whatever. I love this church, and I'm committed to this church, and I love this Sunday night service, and God bless you for being here. And all the things you mentioned, we had a whole full day of women's stuff yesterday, too, you know, and they were here Friday. I was here Friday also trying to get you ready for that. Incredible what goes on in this building, and we thank God for that. But I join Mike in saying thank God for this Sunday night service. This is my favorite night of the week. I love just coming and praying. And Mike just asked me a couple, three days ago to do this. And I just thought, Lord, whatever. And I believe God has put something in my heart for us, for all of us. And it's the mystery of prayer. You know, sometimes you just go to pray and you think, oh, who do you think you are? That you're going to say some words here and it's going to affect something way out there. It wasn't my idea. It was God's idea that he would let us participate in his work, in his kingdom, through the mystery of prayer. And I want to talk in just the few minutes that I have. Look, I have about 17 minutes, I hope, and to talk about the mystery of prayer. I read a quote by Ian Bounds. I love the books by Ian Bounds. I hope you've read his books on prayer. He says, prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege, as something to be enjoyed. And I have enjoyed this evening the presence of God. There's nothing like it. Prayer is a kind of a generic word. It's kind of like saying tree. When you say tree, what do you think of? Palm tree, those from the south, cedar trees, cottonwoods, Kansas. Tree can mean a lot of things, so can prayer. And so I think we're going to zero in, and I'm going to talk about two specific kinds of prayers, but let's just think about prayers. How about this one? God is great, God is good. Maybe the first prayer you heard or learned, or maybe, now I lay me down to sleep. Those are very important prayers. We're teaching children the importance of acknowledging God and believing that God hears them when they say something. Then there's those moments of thanks, prayers at meals. The Bible tells us food is good. Receive it with thanksgiving. And it can be nothing more than thanks, Lord, for food. But what we're doing is what Dr. Carol Taylor said when she was here. She gave us 10 things we should do, and one of them was to make room for the holy. And I think when we stop, it may be no more than a moment and say, God, thank you for this fatty cheeseburger and all these wonderful calories, you know? But we're recognizing God, and we're making room for the holy, and we're announcing to all the people around about us that we believe there's a God who hears us when we pray. There's those quickie kind of prayers, you know, you're driving down the street and saying, oh, Lord, help me, you know, when that other guy forgotten he's running a red light. Those are valid prayers, but they're just one specific kind of prayers. There are formal prayers, like on the National Day of Prayer. I love being a part of the National Day of Prayer here in Springfield. You know, one of the largest in the nation, where 800 people or 1,000 people will go to pray very formal prayers for kings and all in authority in obedience to the Word of God. That's a very significant kind of prayer, and I believe in those formal prayers. There's corporate prayers of the church, and you know, I love Sunday morning when the pastor prays for us. You know, don't you feel coddled isn't that a great word, coddled? It's what they do to eggs, but it means like you're just covered around by somebody who really cares for you. And I love Pastor Jeff, and I thank him for his prayers on Sunday morning. He's praying for all of us, the corporate prayer, the pastoral prayer, but then there's the prayers we pray together. And I want to talk a little later. I'm talking fast because I've got about 25 minutes and it's to say in 17, okay? So you listen fast, okay? To engage, we have to engage in prayer. You know, we're passive. We're a passive culture. We watch sports, we watch television, and we experience things vicariously by watching. But it can't be that way when we come to church. We have to be engaged, and I hope you've all been engaged in the beautiful prayers. We've heard beautiful prayers, but your part was to be engaged in them. My husband used to say when they were little kids and their dad would pray that he and his brother would take turns on being the one to say, "Granite, Lord." You know, you do "Granite, Lord" tonight, and I'll do "Amen" when daddy's raised. But, you know, we're kind of... It's very important. You back there saying, "Amen, Granite Lord, Granite Lord, Granite Lord." Being engaged in what's going on when somebody is praying up here. All of those kind of prayers. The Lord's Prayer. There are people who think praying is to repeat the Lord's Prayer. I love the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know if they've mentioned this very much, but when Daryl passed away and the family's standing around the bed and we've seen the last breath, all that could come to me was, "Let's sing the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven." It was all I could say. Praise God. And our family joined in singing the Lord's Prayer. It's a formality, but it was from the depth of the heart. But that's not the end of praying either. That's one kind of prayer. What I want to talk to you tonight is about individual personal prayer. And this is separate from formal prayers, corporate prayers, pastoral prayers, prayers that we repeat. But I think it's very important for us to have personal prayer. Not my mom's prayer, you know, but the prayer that I pray. And I think we, you know, we hear songs like "Sweet Hour of Prayer." So if we don't have an hour, we don't think we pray. But let's work through some of that. I was very interested in the scriptures on the prayer sheet because they're the very scriptures I'm going to use tonight. 1 Timothy 2:1 and Ephesians 6:8. Those are the first scriptures that I have, and I've asked Ray to put them on, and he asked me what version, and I said, "Ray, it really doesn't matter what you put on. I will use the King James because..." I'm very old, as you know, and the first 50 or 60 years of my life, all I had was the King James Version. So when I automatically think of scriptures, I think King James. Not that I think it's any better. It's just what I know, okay? So that's what Ray's putting on the screen tonight, okay? And I just discovered that wonder thingy up there that I can see what's on the screen without turning around. I did not know that, okay? Well, that's good. So let's get on with it. Paul, like I say, saying prayer is like saying tree. There's lots of different kinds of trees. There's lots of different kinds of prayer. And we are going to look at some that Paul talks about. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks. Look there, he's named four kinds right off. That these be made for all men. And we'll talk about what those different ones mean, but let's look at some other scriptures, the other scripture you have on your prayer sheet, but let's look at the King James. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wow. All prayer, always, that's all times, all kinds of prayer, all perseverance, and all saints. A lot of alls there. We talked about that this morning, you know, about all the alls. Well, there's a lot of alls here in this scripture. All kinds of prayer. So from these two passages, we're picking up on that there are different kinds of prayer. In Corinthians, he goes into a different realm, and this is where I want us to go tonight. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Now he's talked about not a kind of prayer like supplications, intercessions, and that. He's talking about dimensions of prayer. Pray with my understanding or pray with my spirit. Okay, we got to figure out what you mean, Paul. Jude also talked about this. He said, but you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, which is similar to what Paul said, praying in the Spirit. So what I want us to talk about in the time we have left here is two kinds of prayer, specifically praying with the understanding and praying with the Spirit. Got it? That's where we're going tonight. Leave all of those other trees of prayer off and just zero in on those two. Now, I think the reason some people don't pray or don't know how to pray or, you know, kind of put prayer off as something that the pastor does on Sunday morning is we just don't know where to start. So let me help you. You probably already know that. I'm looking at people who know the Lord well. You start where you are. You start where you are, and that's where you begin praying. Paul said, I'm going to pray with the understanding. So that's going to be, I'm going to pray with what I know, all right? I can't be you. I can't be the pecs. I can't be you people. I'm me. So I'm going to start out with me, with who I am. And it's what I am, who I am, my circumstances. That's what's going to bring me to my knees, which is going to help me pray. Now, Jesus gave a parable one time. You know the one in Matthew 13 about all the different kinds of soil? You know, there's the wayside soil and the thorny soil and the rocky soil and the good soil. And I don't know, I used to have a tendency and I'd make those boxes. I'm thinking, oh, I know him. He's in this box and you over here and you're in this box. Me, I'm in the good soil box, you know. And, you know, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? But you know what I think? I think Jesus was talking about the various experiences we have in life. The various experiences. And come to think of it, I've been all of those. See, what did he say? He talked about the thorny soil. And they, when the disciples came to him and said, explain this to us. He said, well, that thorny soil, it's like the seed is planted and it's received. Now, notice he is not talking about the matter of salvation. He's talking about people who have received the word. So these are Christian people that have the thorny soil, the rocky soil, the wayside soil, and the good soil. He said, those with the thorns, that's the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches that come in and they're choked and the seed does not bear fruit. And I thought, ouch, I've been there. Because we can't get away from the cares of life, can we? You know, we've got this awful habit of eating, and we like to sleep, and other people like us to wear clothes because we look better. And, you know, all of that takes money, and to get money, we have to work or stand on the corner with a sign, you know, and that's work. And so the cares of this life, and I've been around, like I say, I'm very old, and I've been around a long time, and I've seen people completely lose out with God and their prayer life and their spiritual life because they were simply so busy with the cares of this life that they became unfruitful. See, the cares of this life can weigh us down, and our spirits get heavy, you know. Where are we going to go? What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to sleep? What kind of car are we going to drive? How's this job going to work? Maybe I need a new job. And we can just get completely laden down. And the temptation is to spend all of our focus on the just simply living and not make room for God or our relationship with God or our personal prayer life. Now, we may not backslide and say we don't believe in Jesus, but we don't develop that richness of our life or that communion with God. Now, see, that is the very time we need to pray. We need to bring the burdens of this life to the Lord. Isaiah told us when we're heavy, that you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's Isaiah 61:3, I believe it is. It says, you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There, Ray's got it up for us. To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But you know, we have to do it. We have to enter into that. We have to refuse to let the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches weigh down our spirit, to let the busyness keep us from praying. Well, that's just one little lesson for tonight. Let's look at the other things Jesus talked about. How about the stony ground? You know, it's the stony ground represents the hard places of life. You know, you walk on stones, your feet are going to get broken. You fall on stones, you're going to get broken. People start throwing stones at you, you will get broken. And, you know, like I say, I've been around a long time and I've seen a lot of things. I've seen people have hard things in life. You know, things happen. Children die. Children shouldn't die. My mother said when my brother died, your children are not supposed to die before you die. But they do sometimes. Or, you know, families break up, or people lose jobs, or, you know, kids run away, or all kinds of things happen that are hard. You get ill, very, very ill, and there's no help for it. And then what happens? We get broken. And sometimes I've seen people, instead of coming to the Lord, they walk away from the Lord in their brokenness. And they don't turn to the Lord in simple prayer. You know, the problem is we think, oh, well, prayers have to be formal. And we read the formal prayers and we think, no, you just come to the Lord how you are. And I love this one. And, you know, we can learn so much about prayer if we look at the Bible prayers. And there's David. Isn't he a great guy? I mean, a sweet singer of Israel and all of that, and after God's own heart. Read Psalm 109, see what you think of him. This is the one where he says, God, are you listening to me? And to them? Do you know what they're saying about me? God, crush them against the wall. Break out their teeth. Let their children be fatherless. Let them go hungry. Does that sound like St. Peter or St. David? No. And we say, what's going on? I used to call that David's temper tantrum psalm because he is just, you know, letting them have it. But I've learned something as I've got older. Sometimes hard words are not just temper. I think that was the anguish of David's soul. And he was just expressing the deep, deep hurt that he had when the person he was supposed to trust had betrayed him. And the most beautiful thing about that psalm is he works through his brokenness and he comes to the point where he says, let them curse, but you bless me. And you know what? God didn't rebuke him for all this ugliness that he said in his brokenness. God simply blessed him in accordance with that prayer. Too many people, when they become broken, when they become wounded in spirit, walk away from God. How many people you know have quit the church because somebody did something wrong? Just this week, a woman said to me, my husband is a preacher's son and he won't darken the door of a church because he hates everything that went on in that church. No, that's not the right idea. I appreciated what Nick was saying this morning. He says, I grew up in church and I had all this funny stuff happen, but I mean, he's going strong anyway. And you know what? I dare say that most of us could find excuses if we wanted to, not to be what God wants us to be. But if we have had hard things, and I know some people have had hard things, stony places have been their place. Don't let that stony, hard places break you to the point that you don't pray. That's the very place where you need to just fall on your knees. And if the bitterness has to come out, let it come. The hardness, let it come. God will not rebuke you, but he will help you turn that around and say, then he will bless me. Let them curse, but you bless me, oh God. If you have a wounded spirit, if you've been broken, it's time to pray. One of the next kind of soil we want to see, and I'm watching the time. Oh dear, I'm not watching the time, Mike. I'll wind this down. Sometimes we have the weakened spirit, you know, of the wayside soil, and life marginalizes us. But it's time to pray. Those are times to pray. I want to talk a little bit, and just I'll wind this up. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm going over. Forgive me, all you children's workers out there. I wanted to talk a little about praying in the Spirit because this is a Pentecostal dimension that is so extremely important. God has given us the gift of praying in the Spirit, and it's not like we pray in all these other times of need. It's not in the Spirit. The Spirit is with us. We wouldn't be praying at all. But God has given us the wonderful privilege of praying in tongues. And so many wonderful things happen when we pray in tongues, that God has given us this dimension in praying. And as Pentecostal people, we want to embrace this privilege and pray in the Spirit. Pray with the understanding. Just dump out all the brokenness, the hurtness, everything. Dump it out in prayer, in our understanding. And then something happens. The Spirit comes and lifts our spirit, and we pray in the beautiful language of the Spirit. I can tell you experiences of people praying in known languages and unknown language, but those are wonderful experiences that are ready for us as Pentecostal people. We need to wind this down, and I just have the feeling that we need to come to prayer. And some of us have been weighted down with life. Some of us have been hurt. Some of us been marginalized until we'll feel we're alone. But all of us need to come and open our hearts to the Lord. Mike, tell me what to do here. Let's get up. We just need to stand and move forward and come to the Lord. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And enter the wonderful privilege of prayer, of communicating with God, and let God meet you at your place of need, and let the Spirit help you pray. Yes, that's right. Just come. Let's come to the altar, and let's come and pray, and seek His face now for a little while, and see what God will do in our lives. He wants to meet you in your brokenness. He wants to meet you in your hurt. He wants to meet you if you're weighted down. He wants to meet you if you're in a wayside place where you feel you're the only person there and there's no solution to your situation. Let's just lift our hearts to the Lord and ask Him to minister to us. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you had that wonderful experience of praying in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit and let the Spirit lead you in ministering to your place of your hurt. God is here and He wants to meet you. I believe that's our message for tonight.